Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Don't raise trade just yet.
Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adrianosaurus.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to the Jewel Position Podcast. I am your host, CSC Whisperer, joined, as always, by your favorite supercoach's favorite supercoach, the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, SC Adrianosaurus.
Howdy, mate. How are you?
Mate, I'm good.
I thought I nearly got you for a score last week because you're having a good year. I was a couple ahead of you for updates, and then you updated to 1 point better than me. Couldn't believe I lost ranks, but look, I'm still in good spirits. I'm sitting in a nice spot, I reckon, ready for the buys. I'm pumped.
Mate, I don't know how I lost rank, and I'm in the top 1%, and you're in the top like 3%. I don't know how you lost ranks at scoring 1,239 mental. So yeah, you scored 1,239. I scored 1,240 off the back of Nico Hines. Mate, he got 100. I don't know what he did.
Well, when you got these accumulators and, you know, scorers, you know, love them, it's always a safe sort of bet, wasn't it? You know, to go him and such a majority of people captain him as well, just takes a little bit of fear out of there as well. But yeah, Hines, he's just a bloody super coach darling, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you called it. On Twitter, I posted, I got a nice little bonus at work, so I thought I would donate some money to charity. I donated half to Black Dog Institute and half to Mission Australia, which helps out with domestic violence in light of certain scumbag journalists. And I had budgeted for about $300 and Nico got 98, which is $196. So we split that up between the two. But you had the call of putting on Fifita. So you were confident Fifi would go bigger. Did that ever play into your mind about captaining him, or was it just sort of the FOMO of the captaincy percentage of Nico?
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing, because I really honestly thought that Fifita was due for a try. I didn't know he was going to go two. I thought he was a bit... I thought, oh, how does the Fifita score two tries and go 1-11?
How does he run? Like, so good. Lockie Miller, Sevens Olympian, got fucking burnt by Fifita.
Yeah. So, look, he's having a ripping year. I knew a try was right around the corner. I put it in my crystal ball that he was going to score a try. And if he'd only scored one try, he wouldn't have made 100, but... It took two, and he did. I just knew Dave was due, and I think he's absolutely rocked himself straight into the Origin team. But yeah, I felt like he was due a big one. It's going to be hard to part ways with him, isn't it? You're probably just he's a piece that you just go, well, I'm not moving him out of my team. I want him any game he's available in. I want him.
Yeah, I mean, it was 2 weeks ago. This wasn't on the podcast. I was just messaging you privately, and I said, look, I'm probably going to sell Fifita in round 13, and then he's just gone bang bang, and now I'm sort of of the opinion that, like, hell, even Fifi playing 60 minutes backing up after Origin is probably worth the hold. I mean, he is getting up towards nearly 900k.
The thing is, if you sell him, and you go, oh, well, I'll bank the extra cash getting him to a 600K-er, then when you want to get him back, you're like, fuck, I can't do it.
The problem with selling these guys is, at the sky-high price, that you're banking on them coming back down to earth, and if they don't come back down to earth, then you've got to find the cash to go elsewhere.
Nothing worse than watching this guy, you're like, oh, I used all of his money for two players, and now I can't afford the player I got too cute and smart about. Yeah, so look, it is hard to hold big, expensive pieces like that. But I think that some players sort of just, because there's nothing much in halves. Some people go on Moses over the Origin period. Because in these buys you get your best 13 scores. I've burnt trades too much to sell Manu. I'm just going to hope that his best case scenario, Manu is fit. I'm not going to sell Cleary and Hines. And I think I'm probably just going to hold Fifita because there's lots of other stuff in my team that's broken. And trading him out and trying to get him back in is not something I can budget in my team with the trades I've used.
Yeah, I think I'm in a pretty good position. I don't think anything in my team is broken. I just could probably have better options. Like, I don't have anything outright stinking up. I mean, maybe in a perfect world, I mean, Reid Money is Jeremy Marshall King. In a perfect world, I have Jermaine Asako. But like, apart from that, and I have Latrell Mitchell. But like, apart from that, I'm not.
You don't have a Sonny Luke, you know. So.
Yeah, no, I've got a better version of Sonny Luke, someone that plays around 13, who I still to this day hold dearly, and Jake Granville. Hopefully, he does well for me next week. I bought him for the sole purpose of next week. So let's hope, mate, if Granville crashes over for a try in round 13, fucking mute all your social medias.
I mean, everything else, you're falling upstairs with everything else this fucking year. I'm just like, I even though you've been outscoring me, you're ahead of me on the ranks, I still just look at your team and I laugh that you got Granville. But even though I've got Sonny Luke, I'm like, well, he fooled everyone. We thought he's a bit of a...
Yeah, at the time it was, I needed a cheapy hooker because I was downgrading Harry Grant because I wanted to get Dylan Brown and Joey Manu. And yeah, I just sort of weighed up Granville or Luke because this.
Imagine if Robson checked the hooker for Origin, you'd be.
Oh mate, but, I mean, I'm banking on Cotter to get to play, and then Granville to come in and play 13. But I mean, yeah, I mean Granville's nothing to write home about. He's getting 35s every week, but it's better than whatever Sonny Luke's putting out.
Yeah, well, what the hell am I going to do when Harry Grant goes off to Origin? Because yeah. I don't really want to sell Origin, Harry. I wanted to. Just hold him because he's really going to play very limited games. So maybe I do have to sell him because who the hell can I get Sonny Luke to unless I've got bank?
Yeah, you know? there's no one. There's no
quandary for people who went that route.
Yeah, there's no good
and a Sonny Luke.
There's no good mid range hooker, and like that's the thing. Like Reid Money for me hasn't been setting the world on fire, but he's been fine. And unless your name's Harry Grant or Jeremy Marshall King, every other hooker has been fine. So I'm okay with that. However, there is some news from a pretty eventful team this Tuesday. Speaking of hookers, the former Dragons hooker, Cam McInnes, out for 4 weeks. Manly and the Sharks are sort of lacking a lot of forwards and it's concerning. So McInnes out for 4 weeks. Sean Lane, after missing the first 8 weeks or so, out for another 8 weeks, this one hits hard for you, my friend, because you were a Sean Lane owner.
It was cute. No, fuck Hopgood. I'm going Lane. Brown's warming up.
Don't get Matto. Don't get Hopgood.
Well, I already had Matto, but I got a shit score in Magic Round, and then he fucking does a hamstring. And I should have just gone Hopgood, because he was one of the things I'm thinking about doing this week as well. So, look, yeah, sometimes you've got to just play fearless super coach. And because I saw Brown warming up, mathematically, I thought that Lane, with a few games under his belt, would have come good. I have no doubt that if he didn't do the injury, he probably would have warmed up. But hey, that's super coach, isn't it? And I was actually starting to really panic that I had too many Eels for that round 14 because I've got Seagulls too. I don't have any Knights, but I'm looking at 7 or 8 players. So I can zag now away from my mistake of probably having too many of them, or I could just get Hopgood and bite the bullet. I knew I should have got already.
Yeah, I think if you've got boost left around 14, might be a good time to pull one if you have gone heavy on Eels. But someone that is very, very super coach relevant, Aaron Woods, looks like he is out for 6 weeks. Shocking news, as is Josh Alloyer, another big super coach relevant player, out for 4 to 6 weeks. And Kelma Tuilagi also out for 6 weeks, and Manly have just been fucking decimated. But the reason why I highlight those three, and obviously Woods, Alloyer, and Tuilagi are not super coach relevant, it highlights a few. You've got Tofua Sipley, who I was a big fan of. Taniela Paseka, I was a big fan of him a couple of weeks ago. And you also have the emergence of Ben Trbojevic. Now, the bench makeup is not kind. It's not the greatest. You've got Bullimore, I think you've got Condon, and I think you have Fainu. So not the greatest bench makeup, but you know, he's near bottom dollar. Does cover around 13, has the hand jewel.
You know, he's burned us all in the past, because he just wasn't getting a role. But I actually have liked, he's been punchy, hasn't he?
Mate, I'll tell you a fun fact. I've never owned Ben Trbojevic, ever. Ever.
I'll tell you what, Ben Trbojevic has looked better than Tommy Turbo.
He's looked like the best Trbojevic in the last 6 weeks.
He's the best Trbojevic.
Absolutely.
So Tommy Turbo this week will be the third best. Actually, have they ever all started in the starting team together? Because that's pretty momentous.
I think they've all played. I know
they've all played in the same game, but they're all starters this week. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it'd be big. It'd be nice. What is not nice is Valance Tavade dropped. Look.
I warned everyone. I mean, last week I said to everyone, I want to go Billy Smith because Momorowski's out for a fuckload of time, and they've always loved Billy Smith apart from the injuries. He's a natural talent. Oh,
Trent Robinson loves him. I've heard reports. I had friends of mine at Magic Round that were watching the Roosters game, And apparently Brandon Smith was just screaming to his halves just to get the ball to Billy Smith. Like, he's...
He's talented. He's a talent. But and other people go on Fee Guy. And I was like, how long do you honestly...
I'm pretty happy with that.
Reggie's. I'm pretty happy with that call. I wanted to flop those two players, Tuare and Fee Guy, because I just thought Lomax is coming in and Brenko Lee is coming back. What I will say for the Tuare owners is... that I don't reckon Brenko can put two games together without getting injured.
I'll tell you, I posted this on Twitter today. Valis Tavare feels like Greg Marzo 2.0 from the Titans days, where he never is a genuine cheapie. He'll play two or three games and then get dropped or get injured or whatever. But and then obviously Marzo came in this year. Like the first time he's been relevant was when he was nearly 500K. And like he was never a cheapie. I do fear that with Tavare. Like if he plays three or four games this year, he'll have a great average and he'll come in at just a ridiculous price next year. As we mentioned before, Gerbo's back, which is good for Manly, good for Turbo as well, I would assume. Josh Adokar back again. He was named last week, was ruled out closer to game day, so he's one to monitor. Connor Tracy gets another week for the Sharks with Sifatalakai out. Now, concerning because basically you're going to get no games out of him for 3 weeks. So I know a lot of people... zigged when others zagged. If they were going Ronaldo Mulitalo, then a lot of people went Talakai. And I liked the play at the time, but he's out last week. He's out again this week. He'll miss next week with the bye. Yeah, so you're going to get no weeks out of him. So I would probably look to move him on and buy him back.
I would too, because that's the thing. You missed him last week and you probably thought it was a hold, but as soon as he wasn't named this week, knowing that he's going to miss next week as well. Look, I might be doing that with Manu as well, but Manu's around 14. They're tipping, you know, if he ticks all the boxes, he could be back for 14. I'm petrified of 14, so there's a reason to hold him.
I also think with Talakai as well, come around 14, I'm just going to be trying to load up on Sharks players, Sharks and Storm players, because they both cover 16 and 19. So Nick Meaney, Eli Katoa, Britton Nikora, Sifatalakai, Ronaldo Mulitalo, all these guys I'm looking to load up on, Blake Braley to an extent. If I need a secondary mid hooker, but yeah, like
I saw one of the bloody experts put Finucane in the old Origin team.
Oh mate,
can't even make it last a full game for the Sharks.
Yeah, but I think Salakai's a weird one because if you're content with not having him for 3 weeks, and sure, if you're running out of trades, and I can understand it because I'm going to be looking and loading up on Sharks soon too. The Roosters, obviously the big news for Teamless Tuesday this week was Luke Keary at 6, Drew Hutchison at 7, no Joey Manu. Initial reports were suffered an extended a period of extended injury. NRL Physio broke that down and said, look, realistically, if the Roosters didn't have the bye next week, he'd probably play this week. So I don't know how much Trent Robertson, under fire from the media, wants to run with Drew Hutchison at 7 with Sam Walker picking up an ACL sprain in New South Wales Cup, and he's out for 4 weeks as well. I'm no betting man, Ado, but I suspect he's back in round 14.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna. Once the great man NRL physio said, look, it's not a syndesmosis. He thinks that the range is sort of 1 to 2, most likely, and worst case scenario 3. I reckon they probably just said, let's give him 2 weeks to just recover fully and come back in strong for. When you've got to buy the following week, you can really let people get over those little nigglers.
And when you're playing the fucking Dragons as well.
You're playing the Dragons. I actually think Keary's looked fucking awful at 7. Man.
Keary wasn't the answer. I don't want to get into it, but when Walker was dropped, Walker wasn't the problem.
Nah. So, look, I think Drew Hutchison will actually, he's a Mr. Fix-It. All these fuckers that own Drew Hutchison, he just keeps falling ass backward into good roles.
Hey, remember, I think early in the preseason, you and I did a podcast about players' ownerships we couldn't understand at the time. Drew was owned by like 8% of people. Fucking geniuses.
He's filling in the fucking, in the centers, and now he's in the half. But that's what I want to say, is I reckon that'll free up Keary to just run and ball play a bit sort of will-o'-the-wisp, because Hutchison will actually do a good organizing job. He doesn't have the worst.
He's got a decent kicking game. He's a decent organizer. Let Keary run.
He's not shrinking violet either. He'll call for the ball. So I actually think that you're going to see that halves look probably even better than it's looked any other way this year, because I think they've got it. Like you said, I think it wasn't Walker. I think Keary in the 7 didn't work. Manu and him sort of could have worked. Maybe it will in the future, but you watch. I reckon this week they'll actually do well with this combo.
Something that we aren't talking about either, Joey Manu also picked up the 5/8 jewel as well. So after round 13, if you're wanting to move on Isaiah Katoa, you don't need to bring in a 5/8. If you have Turbo, you can literally go Katoa to a second rower. Jewels are really handy. The reason why selling Hosking is hard is because Jock Madden has been named at 7 for the Broncos, and Jock Madden is a defensive turnstile. He's not good defensively. But the problem with him is minutes. But saying that, he could definitely do some damage in 55, 60 minutes, and then you move him on. I think his time in the sun, though, is definitely coming to an end.
He's ripening up. I mean, he could just go out this week and do a bloody Sorensen. What the fuck was that? It's 175. People are buying him this week.
Wait, wait a minute. You don't.
He's got a 175 in there.
You don't own Jerome Luai and Sorensen together like me?
Yeah, well, no, I don't.
Could you fucking imagine?
Well, I was like, surely no one owns him, but I looked and people were trading him in. And I mean, what do they know?
To be fair, he was averaging like, I think, 55 or something before, so yeah. He wasn't terrible. I mean, but
really talented footballer.
Also a very attractive man.
175 in there now, and he doesn't actually play the bye, but he plays the games following the bye. Could you get around buying him? Just because he's going to have that 175.
I assume that he's in Kim's team, being a very good-looking bloke.
Well, I haven't looked at her team. I don't know if she's making trades. Probably still like
he is a very good looking bloke. Edwards, the front row forward hero that we all need. He starts again for the Bulldogs in the front row. Got a 94 last week. Was the top scoring front row forward. Did have a try. Mm-hmm. So take that out. You know, he's still pumping out 60. You know, he's under 300K. The bench looks pretty favourable. You've got Josh Reynolds. You've got Jaden Ockenbaugh. You know, a pretty good bench makeup for him. Tevita Pengo doesn't play big minutes. Max King, you expect to play decent minutes.
Yeah, I was absolutely flabbergasted that they played him for so many minutes, but he really looks a natural lock, doesn't he? He looks a real talent to me. So if I was just like, I'm probably not going to do it. I know, because we've all got these Mowalis, Ben Murdoch-Masillas, you know, that are just, they've got like 20 minutes off the bench and they're scoring 15s. You got a guy starting at lock. That was what we loved about Hopgood. Big minutes at lock. With an ability to score well with good minutes. There's no guarantee that he's going to keep getting those minutes, and I would have loved to have get him before he got that 90K price rise. But I got this dead. I don't care that Ben Murdoch-Masilla or Mowali, if he's fit, will be there for the first bye. They're only going to score 20 points. Mm-hmm. So this guy looks like if he goes out and scores a 60 this week, he makes 100K.
Yep. Yeah, I'm on him. I just not sure who. And we'll come to that in trades. And the last point, pat on the back for yourself and I, our chance to be a bit smug. Plenty were calling him the cheapie of the week last week, and that's Max Fiege. I'm pretty sure I said word for word on this podcast, Zach Lomax is not staying in reserve grade for much longer. And sure as shit, Zach Lomax is back in first grade, and Max Fiege has been dropped. I'm not surprised, you're not surprised, but it does suck for owners that did jump on.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you've got to just make that decision where it's the best of a bad choice.
Not every cheapie has to be bought, basically.
Nah. Yeah. And when I brought in Croker, I made that decision over Dunster because I was just like, Dunster is so shit. And I think, you know, if he has one shocking game, he's out. You know, and I've thought with Croker, he lifts the Raiders. They've got better since he's been in. I think they're just going to get him to 300 games. So logically, it just seemed to me like he had more job security.
No shock that Croaks comes in and the Milk are undefeated.
They love him, mate. He's a club hero.
He is.
But anyway, yeah, on the subject of who are we talking about?
Max Fee Guy.
Tuare versus Max Fee Guy versus Billy Smith last week. I thought the answer was clearly Smith. If you're going to go someone way early, how could you go to RE when he was filling in for an injury going straight into a bye? You know?
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. Moving into, I think only this, I only have 6 points this week of things we learnt from last week.
You're probably indicating to me to write 4, but I didn't
fine.
Do it.
It's fine. Obviously, I am the president of the Anti Teddy Club. And if I'm going to sit here and slam Teddy week after week for being washed, probably need to do it with Turbo as well. I don't care what anyone says. He's just not 100%, is he? He's just not.
I mean, one of the biggest crimes, I reckon, in rugby league that I might have ever seen is if a bloke can have a year like Campbell Graham has and he miss Origin on for Turbo.
Yeah.
Now, I know Turbo has been there. He's been almost best on ground, almost some of the greatest origin, but he's 50% of Turbo. He's not really 100% Turbo, which was the guy that did that. I reckon he's almost first picked in the back line, him and Latrell Graham. So
Graham, yeah.
I just can't see Turbo going Origin this year.
I don't know. There's reports coming around today that that they're going to line up on the same side, Trell and Graham, which leads to me to believe Graham's going to play wing.
Mm.
And then you expect Toto to be on the other wing. And then, fuck, does that mean they do fit Turbo in? Like, I mean...
Well, I just reckon you go Graham in the centres, him and Latrell, that is an absolute phenomenal two big bodies in the centres. And you go To'o and Fox, primitive X factor.
I mean,
on,
even,
and
you got even Crichton. Even and you Crichton got I'd rather Crichton have Turbo Crichton, right now.
Well, I mean, look, yeah. But I just reckon it, you either you pick between Graham and Turbo. I think Graham would do a very serviceable job on the wing. But he's been the best centre in the fucking comp.
Oh, yeah, 100%. If he doesn't get picked, though, it's like textbook New South Wales.
Yeah. I mean, we do want loyalty and everything, but...
I don't. Look, I'm a Queenslander. Fuck you.
I don't know about you, but if I were Turbo, surely he's got to be like, oh, Turbo just seems like such a champion that I don't know if... He'd be like, I'm only going to go there if I feel like I can...
Yeah, I don't think Turbo would play... Just to re-injure himself.
He wasn't,
I
mean, right. Yeah, just to fill a spot. He's not that kind of character.
And
so.
This is the hard thing because I'm a Turbo owner. If he plays round 13, I'm obviously not selling him. But in recent weeks, like if he was playing to his full potential, I probably would have sold him because I know he's going off to Origin. He'll miss 13 and 14.
Mm.
However, like in his current form, it's like, fuck, do I just hold on to him? Because like I could use him in round 13. He's not losing cash.
Well, that's just, right. And holding. Look, I don't even mind him as a play this week against the Raiders, to be honest.
Oh, you guys, as good as you are, you have leaked points. So, like, yeah, there is points there. Points.
Yep. So, and I think it's a good, they've always had a pretty good record against the Raiders, the old Seagulls. I'm still tipping the Raiders for future. But, yeah, I'm going to hold Turbo probably. I mean, I've got Gutho as well. So I'm going to have nothing in round 14 if I do decide to hold. But I will say, I'm going to keep my mind open to Turbo missing Origin and being a very handy play for round 13.
That's why I haven't sold. Look, I think my plan is to hold Turbo or basically up until next week. And then if he's picked, I'll sell. If he's not picked, I'll hold. So that's just basically as simple as that. Probably the
drink water, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely. And captaining drink water too, 100%. Another Cowboy, probably the headline of this show. We put out a tweet. We have... very, very polar opposites opinion on this guy, and it's going to be good to have a chat. Hedon Lukey, is he a great Preston downgrade? Cowboys, hang on, what have I written? Cowboys cover 12, 13, 14, 16, 18, and 20, only missing 15, which is a standalone buy, so they're the only team. Missing 19, which is a big buy, is half the comps out then, and then missing 19, which is a mini buy. You are in the camp, and I would be in the camp too if he was 150K cheaper. Talk to me on Lukey and why you're keen.
Look, I reckon there are... We've seen crimes for this particular body shape in the NRL. We saw it when they didn't use Fifita. We're all like, what the hell are they not using this guy? He's a monster. Penrith used Kikau better than anyone's used a big man, pretty much, you know? Last week, I saw the resurgent Cowboys use Lukey like what we saw the shoots of when he first came into league. Look, he'd come off an ACL. I thought Lukey is way better from what I've seen on the eye test than Nanai. So to me, watching him crash over there, it reminded me of how Penrith are using used Kikau, how you know they're using Fifita this year. If they get him early ball, he is a handful close to the line. He runs Nikora kind of lines, Lane kind of lines. This is a contract. I think this is a breakout year for him. If he's, I know it's hard off for ACL, but I reckon he's better than Nanai. And we didn't know how the hell Nanai was going to keep getting tries. He's good in the air, but I reckon close to the line, good luck to you if you want to stop Lukey. He looks absolutely like a phenom against these blokes close to the line. I'm worried about 14. I'm worried about these backup games over these upcoming buys. So, yeah, I could go Hopgood, but I could be royally fucked in round 14 if I go Hopgood. If I go Lukey, those rounds that I'm really worried about that could be hard, I've got a ceiling bloke in there. We can see that if he gets a try, he'll probably get up to 100. I think he's going to be a bit like Nanai. He'd probably score you 40 or 100. But I've liked him as a footballer. So I think if I'm going to have faith that he's being used and we're starting to see the shoots now flower of what his potential is, I reckon this could be a year that he's on fire. It could be a Nanai of this year.
I'm not saying it. I'm not saying he's not a good footy player. I think he's a great footy player. Absolute stud. But I just think this reeks of Lemu, like a mid-50s 2RF plotter. That if they don't get tries, then it's a bit miffed. Not only that, Parramatta in round 13, who are probably going to be full strength. The Storm,
what does that matter this year?
The Storm in round 14. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, the Storm have Origin players. Realistically, they're probably only going to have three.
Three very good ones.
Yes, yes. But they are playing 4 o'clock on a Sunday, which is probably the longest time you can... Oh, it's the second longest time, because I think there's a 6 o'clock game that Sunday in round 14. The longest time to wait... Harry Grant's not going to be playing 80 minutes for Origin, so I think he backs up. Munster's the kind of guy that just backs up because Munster loves footy. Granted, they do play... they've got Parramatta, Melbourne, bye in round 15, into Penrith in round 16. Now, that is Penrith without their Origin stars because it's in the Origin week. So, granted, that could be okay. And then you come straight into South in round 17. A South side who also play at 4 o'clock on Sunday, who are going to have all their stars be backing up as well. So, one, combined with his work rate and reliance on tries, we saw this with Nanai last year, in a much better Cowboys side than what we're seeing now. And two, combined with four really, really tough teams in Parramatta, Melbourne, Penrith and South. He's 550K or something like that, 500K.
The quandary I'm sort of thinking about is...
I'd rather just wait to get
round
Tohu.
14, all these buy rounds are going to be hard, but there's no way that over the next, including the buy, over the next sort of 6 weeks, Hopgood's not going to score more. And I really don't think Hopgood's going to get picked for Origin this year with how many middles Queensland has. So,
yeah.
If you're stacking him up against Hopgood, maybe not. But I think if you look, probably me just doing lane over Hopgood again, aren't I? If I go, Lucky, it's not as good.
If
you're going to pod someone, you got to go, they've got to be able to score as well or if not better, if they're cheaper.
I'd rather just save the cash and get Lucky, not Lucky. I'd rather get Tohu next week and just play someone this week. I mean, I just think there's better options. I mean, fuck, I'd rather just take Britton and Nicora. And I know that he's missing round 13. I'd rather just buy him. I'd rather just find the cat. The low break even's fine. But like, if we're not talking about two bullshit tries against the Dragons, are we ever having this discussion?
Well, no, but how long has he had to actually go and prove himself in the NRL? He hasn't had a good run of games. Yeah, look, he's got a flaw on him. You can easily see that. He's going to be try dependent. So look, I'm going to think about it. In my trade scenarios, there is a way that I can get Lukey and Edwards, or I can get Hopgood and Edwards.
The concerning thing with this is 35 points in 55 minutes against the Titans. Yes, had a 77 in 71 minutes against the Bulldogs, but that had attack stats in there too. A 27 in 55 minutes against the, what are they called, Roosters. And then 121 in 60 minutes last week, and that was including two tries. It's not like he's an 80-minute back row that's locked in.
Sounds like Murray this year.
Oh, mate, I'm not a huge fan of Murray, but I'm not keen. If Lukey, he's 523K. If Lukey was...
All right, you've convinced me.
400.
I'm off it.
He's also playing the Tigers, who we all know Supercoach actually decently defensive, apart from with 5 minutes last week.
I've already got it in my scenario. If someone talks me out of him...
Lovely.
Yeah, look, I did it because it meant that I could just sell a shit piece to get Edwards. I've got to go a bit more creative now to be able to get... I just think it Hopgood. I do want Tohu as well. And the other option I could do is just go find someone else to play this week and just pull the trigger on the trade and get him out. But I don't even need to do that. I could just sit this week and...
I'd actually play Edwards this week. I don't hate playing Edwards.
I don't hate playing Edwards 60. This week. It's not the worst matchup either. And if they're going to keep giving you these ripping minutes... look, I'll scrap Lukey, and I think it's going to have to be Hopgood, because I don't know if I'm going to have the money to go anyone better.
Yeah, that's fair. I've successfully talked you off Heelam Lukey. Yeah. Now, let me talk the masses off Lachie Miller. Now, I've owned Lachie Miller since round one, so I have had the reaps. I've benefited from the rewards. He's been a top four centre wing all year, and he was great for the first 9-10 weeks. KP's come back and has run the show. Lachie Miller's getting less and less ball. He got a 66 last week, but was fucking bailed out very, very late. He was on 25 for most of the game. His goal kicking isn't fantastic. Has the bye in round 14. He's going to be a great hold and great play next week. But the minute lockout opens up 8:00 at 11 o'clock in 2 Mondays' time, he is ditched.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, we were loving what we were seeing from him, but I always thought it was because Ponga was out, and he obviously is just another, you know, he was another premium in their team to do some ball play. He's a fullback, and he's a trier. So, yeah, it's obviously just when you get someone in like Ponga who's dominant, and there's not as much there for him.
The positive is that most likely the Knights be without Ponga in round 13, most likely.
Mm.
So that could see Miller have some relevance again. But with the bye in round 14, I think he's a pretty easy sell. Are you in the same boat?
Yeah, I reckon. I mean, I've never owned him this year, and I've kicked myself for it. Same with Waisaka.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just think sometimes you can just cut and run, you know?
No, I'm gonna be the same. I'm gonna really, really enjoy the 13 weeks that I owned him, and I'm going to be looking to move him on to someone like a Ronaldo Molitalo, I'm feeling. Number four, despite a putrid buy schedule and origin, David Fifita is still a season-long hold. I'm not, you know, ripping up trees here with this statement, but like I said, I was very much in the camp of, hey, I might just sell Fifi and you know, we'll get him back after origin. But even 60 minutes of Fifi, he just looks different this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we always thought what your forward went there, and Foran's way too experienced and has been at the top of his game, even though he's picked up injuries and stuff, to just get the most out of players around him. And Dave is sort of playing a completely different style that's such a rebalanced thing. It really agrees with him. And he's just as dangerous in all kind of different ways. Wow, what a year from him. He's straight back into that origin team. He's averaging 86. He's got to break even at 66, and he'll cover that this week against the Bulldogs. He's going to be over 900,000 next week. So I'm more scared of selling these 900,000 guys and trying to find the money to get him back, because I don't see him stopping. What's his lowest score?
Well, that's what I was going to say to you. Like, while you have a look at that, like, he hasn't just
49, and then he jumps straight to 69 after that.
But that's what he was doing. 69. Like, he's not relying on attack this year, whereas last year he was, and the year before I think he had something like 12 tries in 24 games. Like, he's been working.
I'll read you these last 5 weeks. 82, 84, 114, 100, 111.
I mean, that's some okay scores.
Yeah, some pretty good scores. Not bad.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I just think he's a season-long hold, personally. With KP's performance on the weekend, are we getting around Reece Walsh as a buy? Now, I know owners are probably selling with Origin, but, I think KP has got the Queensland fullback jersey on lock, and is Reece Walsh him? Whoa, I nearly vomited.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, if Tommy Turbo, misses Origin, he's a solid 13 play. But when you've got to buy into the next round, you can choose, like in my case, I've got Gutho and Turbo. I'd be happy to cut one of them for a Reese if he misses Origin, because we saw him do well against poor teams and shit against good teams. But he's got so much attack in him that he's even done well with the hard team. So in the fullback position over that bye period, is particularly in round 14, Reece is probably right at the top of the pops of ones that could score big.
Yeah, it's his stocks have not fallen. I think KPs have absolutely risen.
He has a half decent game this week. I think what he's done in Origin before, Ponga will probably get the run.
I believe so. And the last point of the night, are the Tigers the new Supercoach killers? Now, granted, Latrell Mitchell did score a 90-odd, but it took some round two Reece Walsh levels of junk in the last 5 minutes to get in there. I know many captained Trellament, I know many captained Walker. The Tigers looked pretty good defensively apart from that last 5 minutes. So are they the new Supercoach killers? I think we said this on the podcast after the Tigers win against the Panthers. If it looks too good to be true, it normally is. And the Tigers are playing some good defensive footy when it comes to Supercoach.
Yeah, look, I think when you're looking at – when you used to look at those games and you're like, oh, I'll just throw a VC or a C on someone there, even in these teams, whenever you watch a Titans game, you're like, it's going to be a high scoring affair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you can target these ones where it's going to be 38 to 40. There's going to be a fuckload of points. You know, I had on the punt last week, I won like $3,000 just on these high scoring games, you know. Thank God that Cam Pereira scored. He was the one that got me the big 2K.
I'll tell you what, I'm fucking pissed I sold him when I did. I thought he capped out.
Yeah, well, and so that's the thing. Maybe these matchups and even these draws and schedules, like, oh, look at this run. They've got these hard teams. You've got a team like the Tigers who it seems like they'd be the easiest matchup, but they're not. They're defending
they're
well.
They're also going to be very settled over the Origin period. Like, they may lose Appy, and if the Blues run a utility. But, like, apart from that, they're going to be pretty settled. I don't see the likes of Stafford Toa and Tommy Talau getting picked for Origin anytime soon, my friend. So they're going to be pretty settled over that Origin period too. Not saying go out and buy any of them, but maybe their matchups aren't as good on paper as what we once saw. Target guys.
It's where the former great man Isaiah Papali'i is on price.
So in the chat, actually, you can't see the live chat, but I've got it up here, and we're actually discussing IPAP.
253K he's lost. He's 577,000. I mean, he's averaging 57.9. So, like, we're talking about Lukey's, and he's not a whole lot more expensive than him.
Would you rather Lukey or IPAP?
I don't think I'd take IPAP. Although, what's he done this year? Has he had any good scores?
Yeah, he had a good one last week. Yeah, he's had a couple.
55, I mean, and he's got a 70 in there. He's so safe. He's got such a good floor. You're never going to lose your score.
The problem is, where the fuck does the attack come from?
Yeah, we need 100. We need a try out of him. Yeah, look, he's going to obviously miss the round 13. So, I mean, I don't know if people are prioritizing that move, but he's going to be there for round 14. He's going to miss 17, but he'll be there. Oh, no, yeah, but he'll be there for 18. So, I mean, could do a worse.
Could do worse. You could do worse and buy Helam Lukey.
Yeah, well, look, maybe we put a bet and then we'll say that Lukey outscores Hopgood. For the next 5 weeks.
All right. I'll take that. I think I got one with Supercoach Guns as well about Lemu averaging less than 60 from here to round 20.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll say I'll take you for $100 that over the next 5 weeks, Lukey averages at least within 5 points of
That's a big rate. Make it three.
Three.
Okay, that's fair. Easy. Buy, hold, and sell. I played the little soundbite, but we'll do it again. In the buy category, I have a couple. Obviously, no shocks that I'm going to be highlighting the man with a minus 62 break even. Roosters prodigy, finally, after about 3 years of us waiting, it's big bad William Smith.
Yeah. It's one of the things I got right this year. He's always been a talented footballer. I mean, I don't know how I managed
Roosters,
to have
lots the Roosters of Roosters fucking fans, but love him.
I love him. Yep. And look, admittedly, fuck, he looks great. When he hasn't been injured, he's looked great. He looks a really great center. If he runs out this week and does, oh look, he scored 2-8. Even if he scores 60 this week, he makes 100K.
Oh so, yeah, look, that's the thing. He's
not a buy player for round 13, but I reckon he's a strong play in most matchups because he looks like he's always getting involved.
Let me pull up my tweet. I'll pull up my tweet that I posted today because there is two parts of him. So Billy Smith, weird one because the scores aren't sustainable. Like, averaging 75 points as a center, it's just not, unless you're Campbell Graham, it's just unsustainable. But he is trying to make a boatload of cash. However, with people probably needing to pull back on trades over the next 4 to 6 weeks, the Roosters only play one major buy round. However, they do cover all the mini buy rounds. Is he a must have? Now, I don't think he's a must have, so to speak. But boy, he's looking like a very, very good prospect.
Yeah, he is to me. I think, you know, you could probably make the same money in the front row for these dead players like Ben Murdoch, Masilla, and Moali. You make the same money. The thing with I'm seeing in the trade trends is people are selling CNK, and I reckon that those I know they're on the buy, but CNK has a really good floor. He covers a lot of these real tough rounds. The Warriors cover the good tough rounds that I think are going to be harder than a lot of the other ones.
The most.
Skip that kind of move. I know you do make a bit of coin on it, I guess.
The most popular trade this week is Joey Manu to Billy Smith. And I love Billy Smith as a trade, but I fucking hate that trade. Yeah. I mean, I prefer the Paul Alamotti trade. I don't like the Jared Croker trade. I don't like the CNK trade. I do like the Taruva trade. I do like the Max Fiege trade. So I think they're all better, but like, not Manu. And we'll touch on him shortly. But you mentioned you can get similar prices from the front row. And one of them is Harrison Edwards from the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. Now, I've got him as a buy as well. I mean, yeah, he's just playing big minutes at lock. I mean, he's just looking really, really good. Looks like a genuine 13. I mean, hell, they've moved RFM to the bench, and he's meant to be the club captain. So it shows you that they must rate him highly. I mean, they've plucked these guys out of nowhere. I mean, Max King was an outcast by the Storm. Didn't work out at the Titans, and then came in and played some really good footy last year. Jacob Preston, I think he was a Roosters boy from memory, and they picked him up from there, and they've just earthed this other kid, this Harrison Edwards. Like, I don't know anything about him, but, man, like, he looks good. He looks really good.
He does look good. And the thing is that he might be a short-term ride because, you know, the Bulldogs are a bit patchy, and sometimes players like Lomax for the Dragons get the blame just because he missed a few goals, you know, and they put him on the wrong side for his whole career.
Classic hook, Griffin.
People get the blame sometimes. And look, while the minutes are good, it looks like too good to be true. but if you get him in this week, he's probably going to make 100K. So
that's the thing. Like, I'm just looking at that.
Okay, it blew up in my face and he dropped down to 20-minute benchy straight after that, but you're like, well, we priced a trade at 100K and he's going to make more. It sucks that we didn't get him from 200K, but he's going to make more in 1 week than Mawali and Ben Murdoch-Masila have made over for the first 10 weeks.
Okay, so I just quickly counted. I have made 5 trades on Bulldogs front row forwards. One for Max King to be brought in, one for him to be taken out, one for TPJ to be brought in, one for him to be taken out, and now one for Harrison Edwards to come in. That's 5 Bulldogs front row forwards trades. Jesus Christ. In combination with having Paul Alamotti, I started with him, started with Preston, and then we brought in Reid Marnie. So I've used about 9 trades on Bulldogs.
You see, like, you're a fucking Bulldogs tragic.
I am actually Gus Gould.
Yeah, I've had a couple. I mean, I had Preston, I had Alamotti. Obviously, they were cheapies that we wanted. And look, I've never heard of the bloke, but fuck, he looks good. He looks really good.
He does.
I'll make 100K off at minimum, and just trading out either Ben Murdoch-Masila or Mawali is going to feel really nice.
I think also that's the route I'm going down too. I was looking at trading Hosking, but I'm just like, I'll just ride it for 1 more week. Someone who is poised to, that someone that is looking very good in a very, very poor side is Ruben Garrick, who is just shitting points for fun.
Last week he was the only one in there breaking tackles. I mean, it was a milestone game. But look, he's going to come up against a hard draw soon. Do you honestly think if Turbo does get picked for Origin, they're going to put Garrick?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Get fullback. It didn't work with Weeks.
No, it didn't. It didn't. It didn't work.
Look, Garrick's a finish the year bloke. He is an accumulator of points. He breaks tackles. He's a good try scorer. He's a good goal kicker. And whilst a lot of them look like they're not putting in, Garrick always looks like he's putting in effort. So I think he's a piece of your final team for the rest of the year. I think his break even's like 5 now as well. So you've got to pull the trigger.
The chat has just alluded to me as well. I also owned Ryan Sutton as well, Ado. So 6 trades on Bulldogs front row forwards. In the chat as well, this might get you hot and heavy under the collar. Jack Gasecki is Helam Lukey, but with base at 100K cheaper.
I'd rather go down in flames than buy Jack Lane and a fucking Lukey than pick that fucking belly.
Hey,
he's never been any good, but I mean, I was listening to the coach and he's like, oh no, he's great. And he's actually playing pretty
bloody Timmy, good. Didn't Timmy Moody own him in 21?
Yeah, he's winning. Yeah.
Love that.
I can't bring myself to own the Goz.
The Goz?
I can't own the Goz. I'm not going to own Lukey now either. Surely when Nanai comes back next week, the Goz is done. They're not going to drop Lukey. Goz is done.
I think Luciano's back shortly soon as well. Worth noting.
So I think it's been good for people who took an ugly punt on Goz. He's kind of like Hutchinson. He just keeps falling ass backward into a good role. The coach likes him for some reason. But you've got Nanai to come back. You've got, what's his name, to come back as
Luch.
Well.
piano. Yeah. So I'm not getting the goals.
No. Okay, let's touch on holds. First one I've got is Joey Manu. I think pretty obvious. I mean, he's one of the best center wings in the game when he's at his best. I mean, only going to miss 2 weeks. Really, he's only going to miss a week because I'm sure a lot of people that have him weren't planning on selling him in round 13. So yeah. Really, you've lost him for a week. He does have the 5'8 dual as well, which I think has his stock, you know, much higher than what it was 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely. I mean, I might have a dill bags that could get converted to a Munster. A Munster and Manu in your 5'8 could be delicious.
Talk to me.
Look, and everyone's bringing in Billy Smith this week, and I reckon he's a solid as play this week. So just sit your Manu, and you're all bringing in Billy Smith because he's going to go up massively in price and he's scoring well. I think he'll score well again this week. It's a good matchup. I think that halves is going to go better than a lot of – it's going to be more settled than a lot of the others. And I reckon that Billy Smith's a strong play this week. Hold Manu.
I've also got Chance as a hold. Now, we alluded to this before, but, like, if you were going to trade him, you're trading last week. You don't trade him this week.
Yeah.
Like, you know he was on the bye. Sure, you knew he was on the bye.
Yeah, you knew he was on the bye. And look, I mean, how many Warriors have people got? Probably Tohu.
Ford.
I mean, or like me, Willie.
Willie Army. Who's still kicking. He's still kicking in your team.
Fucking hell. He's got the worst injury ever. He's not even making it into their squad.
He gives me big Vialia vibes from last year. But yeah, Chan's the hole, you know, round 13, buy coverage.
Look, I just looked, when I was looking at the cells, I looked at Chan's, I just looked up the Warriors' run of games, or the games that cover buys and the game post-buy, the round after, and they give really good coverage. So I would be trying to find ways to hold Chan's, and I reckon the Warriors players are valuable pieces in the upcoming rounds. So I think of someone else for a sell.
Yeah, and one of them isn't Turbo for me. Now, if you own Turbo with his form, like his Supercoach form's still been okay. It hasn't been amazing, but it hasn't been bad. And with his, you know, question marks over Origin. Now, he could easily become a sell next week. If he's named for Origin, he's out for 2 weeks, so he's a sell. But for now, I'm still holding him on the premise that he's not going to get picked for Origin. If he does, then we'll cross that bridge next week when we come to it. However, I'm probably just going to hold him and play him this week against the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm the same. Look, we've seen a couple of hundreds from Tommy Turbo this year, and when I'm watching him, I'm like, there's no way he's getting to 100. I couldn't understand how he got to 80 last week. Well, not last week, the week before. But if you were selling Turbo now, you'd be going to Latrell probably.
I mean, unless you drop like a Taruva back to fullback.
Yeah, and what center wing is everyone bringing in? Billy Smith? I just don't reckon you... if Turbo is available for round 13, I think he's going to be a scary watch. And you sell him this week, and he's not picked for Origin, you're going to want to probably get him back in, whereas we can do it the other way. We can go, oh, Turbo's picked for Origin. I'll grab Reece Walsh because he's missed. You know, we get move our pieces in the right time frame. Selling him this week, I think, is against the Raiders, where I think he could have some joy. I just don't see like how he's going to have any joy because he looks lame. But I bet you he'll score well against the Raiders this week.
Hopefully, because I'm going to be playing him. One person that I probably can't sell is Teddy just yet. I know that I've shit-canned him, but fuck, he's playing the Dragons this week, and you know he needs to step up. Like, this is D-Day for Teddy. If he's not getting 80-plus this week, then I'm done with him. But if you own him, surely you hold him out. He's, you know, he's 550K.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
Jesus Christ,
it's unbelievable that he's that cheap. You know, I mean, you'd be so tempted to bring him in if you thought that they were going to get any better. Look, I said I think the Roosters are going to do better this week with that halves matchup. I'm just trying to look at where he sits on for averages this year.
Teddy,
behind Dellen Wateni Zalesniak for averages.
I think he's still behind Seb Chris as well.
Yeah, he's behind Bula, Chance,
Drinkwater, Trapwater. And Trapwater had a fucking -3 score or some shit.
Hayes Perham, we thought he looked like he was a no. I can't believe all these people. Everyone's like, Tom Turbo's going like a buster. Well, he's averaging 67. Turbo's averaging 50.
Teddy's not good right now. I don't think that his form is being criticized as much as it needs. I feel like people just have like this sentimental like, oh, yeah, no, it's Teddy. It's Teddy. Yay, Teddy. He's fucking shit right now. Like, he just, he's so, don't be surprised if he comes out and puts on like 130 this week against the Dragons side.
Well, that's right. And you deserve it if you've held on to him.
Oh, well done. If you've written this out, then week, well done.
You've watched him lose 300K. You know,
I'm talking to you, Mark Barnes. If you held him and he goes well, then well done to you.
Over the last 2 weeks, he's, you know, last week and the week before, he scored what Latrell scored last week in one of his milder games. But yeah, it's been a rough old ride. Teddy's top score of the year is a 75.
Fuck.
And then you drop straight down to a 61.
That was his average last year. Like,
yeah. So look, oh, I'm just holding him, because once someone loses so much value, you're just saying, there is going to be a game where Teddy goes large, and I think against this,
it has to be this game. It has to
be this game. I mean, if I was, because you're going to obviously Captain Hines. If you own Teddy, or is that, have they played before them? I don't know.
But I think Teddy could be worth a captaincy shout this week, which is fucking mental.
Advice. I mean, if they play before your captain, but or I'd get a slice of Latrell or Cody as well. But yeah, I reckon Teddy's going to go. I'm going to call it 100 plus for Teddy this week.
I will double down with you, because I'm also feeling a Teddy 100 plus as well. Yep, after not scoring more than 75. The last one, really quickly, we touched on him last week, Jackson Ford. I feel like if you didn't sell last week, then you just hold through and then assess next week. Really quick one there. Round 13, round 14 cover, which is nice. In the cells, I have Hosking and Alamotti listed, but sort of looking at them, Hosking, I can understand holding just for a week. And Alamotti has a 19 break even. He can be at a fine hold, I guess.
Scored 50s last week.
Yeah. Let's do the round recap. As we've alluded to already, I finished up with a 12-40. Few stinkers in Manu. There was another one that really shit the bed. I can't remember who, but someone. And a few highlights for Fida. Val Holmes went well. Captain Nico, that was nice. That actually saw me lose about 50 spots. So I'm down to 1,669th. Nice. However, still in the top 1%, so that's cool. But I'm really prepping for next week. I hopefully should be making some good moves next week, and so should you.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm sort of centering my thoughts around. I got a 12.39, and
you suck. You couldn't even outscore me. You're so shit. 12.39, yeah. You're so shit, man.
I scored 1 point less than you, and I own fucking Manu and Lane, so go and fuck yourself.
And
in light of that, I couldn't really be upset, because I was just like, I won 7 out of 10 of my leagues.
Mate, that was me too. I literally looked down on Sunday night. I was like, I've won 9 out of my 10 matchups, and the other one I lost by like 6 points. And I looked in the Podmasters, because people that follow my socials know that I do like the round recap every week. I do like the SC God score, decent, below par, whatever. Mm. I get all those numbers generally from the Podmasters group, and like we're ranked 10th. So we're a good league.
Yeah, it's a strong league, yeah.
And I was like the third top scorer in that, and I still lost fucking rank.
Yeah, so I was surprised. I thought 12.50 was probably par. So look, I don't know what I lost, a couple, not a handful, but I was surprised with a 12.39 based on what I'd won in the leagues. Lane and Manu stung. I also played Jared Croker. And, you know, he didn't get a try. So, you know, because he scored okay and he's a good goal kicker. But, you know, they were the downsides, really. And obviously Tommy Turbo, I needed him just to go out and score a 60, and I would have won all me bloody leagues. But I was just like, to do a tackle break.
I was waiting for that try sister Gary to get updated, because it was like the tap on from Burbo. I was like, give it, I want it.
I was like, that's gotta be Turbo's, but I mean, hey, that was a pretty slick tap on there by Burbo.
Yeah,
so,
well, that was nice.
Yeah, so those are the bad scores in there. AJ, I mean, he's ripe for the picking now. He only scored a 40 last week. And he's bottomed out, really, for people to snafu him.
Yeah, AJ has my name written all over it next week.
Yeah, and look, so for me, losing Lane and Manu, I'm going to choose to hold Manu because I think he'll be back for 14. Lane's a real fucking knife in my back. And it's one I've just got to wear on the chin, because I got too fucking clever for my own good and going him instead of Hopgood. So sometimes you just get what you deserve, and I've got that. So, but it is a real, you know, because essentially I would have had an extra buy player for all three major buys, that I lose now, and I've got to choose whether I want to replace them with someone who covers three buys or look in a different direction. So it's just had to make me think a little bit now about how I play the rounds forward. But like you, I really have got a big mind's eye, not just about round 13, about 14 too, and about the next buy and the round after that. I've looked at how long the backups are for Origin, after Origin, who I think is going to back up and who's not. So I feel like these next few weeks, that 6,000 I'm in now, or whatever I am, hopefully goes up to sort of the top 1,000.
One thing I didn't realize, I'm a Supercoach app here. One thing I didn't realize in our Teamless Tuesday news, I have a random green dot next to Josh Hughes's name. I forgot about him.
Wow, he's back.
He's back. I'm just looking at my team now. I was just making my trades. And I was like, oh, shit, Shoes is back. So that's another number. After trades this week and before you trades next week, how many are you sitting on for 13? And should we include Turbo in our 13 count or not?
Look, I'm not going to count him, but I'm going to, I'm going to be happy with it if he is.
All right, so if Turbo is playing Origin, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 with plans on Tohu and AJ next week. That would take me to 13, which is nice.
Yeah, I've got 15.
Who are you two that are likely to drop out?
Moali. I've got Couchman and Murdoch Masil as well. So, yeah.
So realistically, you probably play with 12.
I've probably got 12 maybe trades. 13, because I've still got Lane in there. I haven't done the move that I'm going to do with him. So I'm going to obviously go to him to someone who's going to probably play round 13. And I'm not counting Willy Army.
My boy.
Who will be available if he gets picked, but I'm not going to hold my breath, am I?
Now, how are you looking for 14, most importantly? Because I'm going to have Hopgood, Schuster, Brown, Garrick, and Turbo out. That's 5. I'm not going to count Miller because I am definitely selling him in round 14. So I'm going to be having 5 out, which I think is actually not too bad.
All right. Well, look, I'm going to have Matto. And if I go Hopgood, that'll be 2. I got Schuster. I've got Dillbags. You even got Dillbags?
I have Dillbags. Counted Dillbags.
Yeah. I'm going to lose Garrick. That's 5. I'm going to lose Gutho. That's 6.
Turbo? Yeah.
Turbo, 7.
Fuck. Struggle Street.
That is 7. So that's why I'm sort of leaning away from... I'm trying to find someone that's not a eel.
Do you have Jack the Felon?
Yeah, I've got Jack the Felon.
Do you have Fenua try-scoring hero Blake?
No, I don't.
Oh, he could be a shout. You don't have Tohu either?
No. That's the thing I could do. I could just go this week and grab Edwards.
And grab Tane Milne
while you're at it. Just hold Lane this week and get him to Tohu next week.
Yeah, and grab Tane Milne as well.
Yeah, grab Tane.
Yeah, big Sorensen. Shout. Big shout. Tane, Sorensen, may as well get Lua there too.
Yeah, Dillbags out. And grab everyone who top scored last week.
What I want you to do... I know you're tossing up your Sean Lane trade. Why don't you just use the really well-built trade assist feature on the Supercoach chat, mate?
Yeah, all right. Let's trade.
What is it going to give you?
Trade assist is going. I'm going to pick you. I'm just doing it now. Let's see. They reckon I should get Sean Lane out to Tawari.
Nice. Yeah, the checks out. Good.
What the fuck is this thing?
You're gonna bank like 400k and not use it?
Yeah, I'm gonna bank 400k picking a player who's not selected.
Love it. I love trade assist. Trade assist is the best. Let's do some trade talk before we finish up. We've got a couple of questions, but this one's gone long enough as it is. I've written down here Taruva and Hosking to Smith and Edwards, but I'm probably gonna do Taruva and Ben Madoc-Masila. To Smith and Edwards. I mean, I've got really good center wings. I mean, I've got Lachie Miller, who I'm not selling for round 13. I have Val, who I'm just going to keep. I've got Marin Toto, who, yeah, could be a sell. I've got Ruben Garrick, who I'm not selling. I've got Joey Manu, who I'm not selling. I've got Jared Croker, who plays round 13. And then I had Taruva. So it's like, he seems like the odd one out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind the trades. I think they're just sort of, forward moving ones. I think that probably leans me towards maybe not getting Hopgood because I'm going to be fucked in round 14. But there's a very good possibility that I sell Turbo as well, because even if he plays, I'll hold him for round 13 and he'll be someone I'll trade out on 14, probably to Walsh.
Oh, really? If he isn't picked for Origin, you're not going to hold him through? You're going to trade him out?
Well, because, I'm going to have Gutho and him in round 14. And also because I've got so many out in round 14, if I go Hopgood, I've got to pick which ones I'm going to sell. Yeah. So I don't know. I've got things are up in the air, but I think that for me, trades wise this week, it's probably going to be just getting rid of a Ben Murdoch-Wasilla or a Moali.
I mean,
out to Edwards, and I'll probably just go to Tohu.
Mate, you know what?
I like those Warriors over the break.
You know what? I could sell Turbo in round 14 too. I mean, he plays the Knights in round 13, which is nice if he doesn't play Origin. Then plays the Dolphins at Four Pines Park. Then plays Parramatta, Melbourne, Roosters, Cowboys, Sharks. And then has a nice game against the Dragons and then goes into the Roosters, Panthers, Warriors.
Yeah, so, I mean, selling Turbo is a possibility. I mean, look, after Origin, if I can find the money, I wouldn't love to run home with Latrell, you know? So
yeah, that's actually really tasty. Like Miller and Turbo to someone. I mean, yeah, I mean, I could really deal with the fucking boost right about now.
Yeah, boost would be like, you were like, oh, fuck the boost.
I also stand by my fuck the boost statement, but it would be nice to be able to like do a 3-for-2, like three guns that have topped out.
Yeah, so for, I think, like, I'm actually going to show some restraint this week because my numbers for round 13 are really good. I've got to probably stave off Manly, Newcastle and Parramatta Eels because of my round 14 numbers. So I might just do bring in Edwards this week and piss off one of these Moali, Ben Murdoch-Wasillas. And next week I'll just go Lane to Tohu.
I think our trades, so I've got, after this round, I've got 22 trades left. And that's basically 11 rounds. So that would see me tap out at round 23 if I max traded throughout. And that leaves me with four rounds without trades, which ideally not great. I kind of want to have two. But I'm just sort of now focusing on like round 16 and round 19 numbers. And then after that, man, I kind of don't really want to be making any moves. Like I kind of want to have an okay squad built in round 20 that I can just make like matchup sort of trades each week. Like a one trade type thing.
We've looked forward towards all of these buys and all these games.
That's why I'm targeting guys like Ronaldo and stuff like that. Like guys that cover 16 and 19. Like, and kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah. So for me, when I, over this round, hopefully I'm only, yeah, I could do this week and make one trade. Because I might as well have Tohu, and then I'll have Tappany, DeBell, and Tohu. If I hold Gilbert, I think he's probably going to go off to Origin. But you know, I'll have some guys down who with duality in the second row, which is pretty handy. And I like those Warriors and what they cover over the buys. So I save a trade this week and stay at, you know, the 23. And, you know, I won't be getting another Eels player. And I probably won't. I'll only have to do sort of singular trades, bringing in
who is I Harris, want. Is Harrison Edwards a luxury trade or is he a must-have?
I think he's a luxury trade. If he didn't have such shit pieces, I mean, we've got to accept that Moali and Ben Murdoch-Wasilla were
they
fucking
ain't them. Frills. Hey, the I have, I'll tell you who I have. In my front row forward, I never thought I'd say this. But I got Lindsay Smith, who's made me 90K and has an 11 break even this week, and he's been fine. I've actually been okay, like relatively okay with him. In the last couple of weeks, he's gone 38, 52, 38. So he's been okay.
I mean, look, if Edwards can just, if he just keeps being picked at lock and he averages 40, that's going to be 12 better than Ben Murdoch-Wasilla and Moali, you know, so. Yeah, it is a luxury trade. If Harrison, he's not a buy player, but...
Well, if he holds his spot, the Bulldogs cover round 16 and round 19 as well.
Yes, yeah, so he will have some coverage for you there. He's right on 300,000 now. If you bring him in this week, Moali is going to stay at 300,000, whereas if you do that move to Edwards, which saves you 300K, you make $100,000 off that trade.
Oh, by the way, now that you reminded me... if you have Latrell, Cody, and the likes, keep some trades up your sleeve because Souths are out around 26, which is most of your grand final head-to-head weeks as well, and you don't want to be having Latrell and Cody on the bench. Like, you don't want to be having $2 million on the bench. So, just worth noting there. Captaincy calls, mate. What are you thinking this week? I haven't done a big write-up on it. I think I'm just going to be sticking with Nico as the captain, Indigenous round. However, I am terrified of the Bunnies because they always seem to fucking pull it out in Indigenous round.
Well, they do. I mean, if I had a Latrell or a Cody, they would be having a VC on them for sure. And if you're doing your multis, put down Cody and Latrell.
Latrell, AJ, Cody, all three of them. All three of them
try scorers. And go and throw yourself a Kaloa Matangi in there and you're fucking laughing.
What are we thinking about Billy Smith VC this week? Second game of the round? There's no really. I mean, I can't VC any Panthers unless I VC Brian Toe.
Yeah.
I can't VC a Panthers player because I'm captaining Nico, and the only Panthers player that I want to VC is. I mean, I could VC Hosking. I could VC Toe. I could VC Billy Smith. I don't have anyone in Parramatta that I want to VC. So I could just go really punty with my VC this week.
Yeah, you might as well. I mean, I'm going to go either AJ, hoping that he bags a three try, you know, affair.
What are you going to take? What are you going to take, knowing that Nico plays the Knights in a Knights side that conceded 26 points to the Titans in Shark Park?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, sorry, it's at Coffs Harbour, not Shark Park. It's
Shark Park. Yes. Look, I'd take one. It's probably 130, 140.
I mean, the scary thing is he did 100 last week. He had one try assist, and that was about it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, and that when you've got such a safe pick in Hines, you really need a monster score out of these one of these others to make it worthwhile. And it really needs to even 130 is not even enough when you throw it into the loop calculator on what Nico or his normal
not
fare.
When you have Couchman or BMM or Mowale.
No, it's because they're just such low scorers. So look, there's nothing that's gonna make me not go off Hines.
Off Nico?
Yeah, I'm going to go on Nico. I'll probably just go a real sort of speculative, maybe on Billy Smith or, Johnston. Hope he gets a five-try effort and gets to 150 or something, you know, and then I can loop.
A couple of round questions, and then we'll finish up with our tips. I also have a bone to pick with you with your tips as well, and we'll get to that. Will Tosh, the Rabbitohs play 6 to 7 games between round 13 and 19 and two of the three major bye rounds. With a very, very easy schedule. Is Alex Johnston or Tanner Milne an option? Yeah, I'm really keen on AJ. I didn't get him last week because I couldn't make the money work. I'm kind of glad I didn't. I'm also petrified about not owning him this week. However, next week, absolutely. I'm absolutely all over him.
Yeah, I don't mind grabbing a few of them. I think that Graham's obviously going to go off to Origin.
Does that hinder Tanner Milne? With no Latrell as well, so you expect Cody just to be sort of more left side dominant?
Yeah, I think they're going to be a bit more left side dominant. So I would probably be grabbing AJ.
Yeah, no, also.
Hoping for those multiple tries, yeah.
I'm keen. Isaac asks, what are we doing with our Parramatta players after round 13 as they have the bye in round 14, Manly and the Knights too? Now, I think you need to separate who your keepers and who you're not. Like, if you're just picking up Parramatta players for the sake of covering the bye, this is why I personally didn't buy Clint Gutherson because I'm like, I don't really want to bring him in and trade him out because I don't see him as a season-long keeper. However, Dylan...
Averaging 72, mate. He's doing better than a lot of other fullbacks.
To be fair, he is. However, I do see Dylan Brown as a season-long keeper. I do see Jermaine Hopgood as probably a season-long keeper or at least a keeper for the next 10 weeks with Sean Lane out. But yeah, I mean, you've got to weigh up. So like Lachie Miller for me in the Knights, I don't see him as a season-long keeper, so I'm happy to flick him on. Garrick, I'm happy to hold. Like some of them, you do just have to understand you're biting the bullet and copying a shit score in round 14 because you're saving your team. Like, you want Garrick in your team, you want Dylan Brown in your team. Is it really worth four trades to trade them out and then to trade them back in? Like, I don't think so.
You got to. I mean, I look at them and I go, of those players, who am I willing to let go of? And Gutho and Turbo are probably in the box of ones I'm willing to let go. I really think Matto, I don't know if he's going to make Origin, and even off the bench, he's a bit of a weapon. I'm going to hold him. Look, I wish I'd have gone Hopgood instead of Lane, but I'm probably going to have to pass him again now because I'm going to have no opportunities. I'm going to hold Brown as well because if it's going to be Brown or Munster that you want as your main piece in the 5-8 position, I think, so I'm not going to get rid of him. I'm going to hold Garrick. I think he's a more valuable piece than Turbo this year, just because he's healthy. And I've got Schuster in there as well. I'm finally going to get some games out of
finally.
Him. You've got to think of the ones you're willing to move on.
Yeah, 100%. The last question here comes from Gadbras, asks, with Colin Matangi due back in around 14 or 15, could he be a must-have over Origin? Missing out on selection, you would expect so. South play... Basically, they play round 14 through 21, and they miss round 16 and round 20, 16 being a major bye round, so half the rounds out, and they miss 20 with a standalone. Colin Matangi is a weird one because he was absolutely ripping and tearing before his injury. you're banking on a guy to come back from a pretty major injury and just basically hit the ground running. We're not getting at a massive discounted price, although if he does miss out on selection altogether, I also feel like New South Wales could go down 1-0 in the series and then like they rush him in, considering his form beforehand. Because apart from Hudson Young, no real back row has really lit it up.
Ola's been rubbish.
Yeah, Hamo Olakau'atu is just sort of like
Frizzell even get a run.
I mean, Frizzell's been good. I've seen some people have Crichton in their teams. I'm just like, I haven't seen it from Crichton to warrant picking. I just Kulamatangi is a weird one. I'm probably going to let it go through to the keeper until I can see some more. But
I will too. And I mean, you know, he when they're so left side centric, you know, and that's the thing too, because you're going to have Latrell off to Origin, and they probably will be back to the old going left a lot more. And AJ's bottomed out, so you figure he's going to get a bag of tries. But yeah, they are going right more, so there's a bit more on for the right, and that, naturally that's a little bit less for the left.
All right, let's quickly do our tips. I've got a bone to pick with you, because on this podcast last week, you tipped against the milk.
I did tip against the
and
milk.
And then I opened my ESPN app.
I know.
You're a dog.
Look, officially for our scores, it counts. I tipped live on the show. I tipped Parramatta.
No, Hill. Because I use the ESPN app to calculate the scores. Fucked it.
Why can't I change my mind?
You can. You tipped the round. You tipped the round last week. Hang on.
A perfect week.
Tipped the round last week. The only difference is that I think I had the Bulldogs, don't know why, against the Raiders, but not the Raiders, against the Warriors, and then I also took the milk over, what are they called, the Eels, and then you changed to the milk. What was the change?
I always knew it was a tough road trip, and I go, if I tip him, if there's a God up there, he fucking hates me. So if I tip the Raiders, they're not going to win, and I want this run to keep going. So I'll sacrifice a tip to do it. And I was talking to one of my Parramatta Eels fans. He's like, fuck, we're shit. No Moses in there. We're fucked. You're going to fucking roll us. And just he was like, I'm tipping the milk. If the milk lose, I'll pay you $50. He was so convinced that I'm going to get pumped. And I was like, all right, I'm going to just ride the positivity. Let's change it to the Raiders. And everyone was just calling me mad for saying, they're like, Parramatta's busted, man.
Every favorite one. So anyone that doesn't follow me on Twitter, each week I put $100 of my own money on every NRL underdog, and I sort of track it through the season. Before last week, I was up $1,300. Every favorite won this week, so I lost $800, and the tally's back down to $500. But this week is on to a new week. The score updates, because you tipped a perfect round, you got an extra 2 points. So you're now 8 tips clear of me, which is...
I'm fucking rolling you.
You are. Dragons Warriors, but I'm pretty sure the Warriors had the bye. Round 12, the Broncos Penrith. I'm going to take Penrith here.
Yeah, I'm going to take Penrith too. I think the trajectories are going in different directions. Broncos down and the Panthers up.
No Adam Reynolds.
Adam Reynolds is a big loss. I think he's responsible for a lot of their wins.
Huge loss. Huge, huge loss. The hookless Dragons up against the Manu-less Roosters. I've got to back my Teddy 100+, and I'm going to go to the Roosters.
Yeah, and I think that they've got actually a bit more no frills, the old halves combination, but I think it's going to work. So I'm going to tip the Roosters in this one as well. Although, it's not often when a coach gets punted, the team goes out and performs really well the next week, but I think that half the team liked Hook, didn't they?
If half the team is Ben Hunt, then yes. The Rabbitohs up against the Eels. This one's at Allianz. I'm going to take the Rabbitohs here.
Yes, I will too.
Grand finals played this weekend. Bunnies Panthers rematch. Who wins?
I reckon we were saying last year, I thought that Parramatta had all the tools to be able to beat Penrith. Player for player. And I just think when Souths are playing at their best, nobody can run with them. I think they've gone forward this year and looked better. And I think they've gone, because they have lost some players, admittedly. They're a victim of their own success. But they're still going to be, they time their run perfectly. They become professionals at it. My biggest worry is that the Bunnies are peaking too early.
Yeah, they tend to do this.
If it was on right now, I'd tip the Bunnies. Yeah, 100%. But I just hope they time their run and they stay injury free. I reckon this year, and if Penrith sort of warm up like they've been, they do, And the Bunnies hold their form. I can't. Oh, if it's that, that's the grand final. I'd like to see
Sharks Knights. I'm taking the Sharkies in this one.
Yeah, I'll take the Sharks. But I'm. This is one I reckon that could be a bit of a danger game. I tipped the Knights last week.
The Sharks haven't looked good, have they?
No, they haven't looked great. You know, the Knights are plucky and they're sort of resilient in a way. Ponga's sort of wants obviously his Origin jersey. Miller's a trier out the back. Hastings, you know, they've got the sort of nuts and bolts of they're just inconsistent. But yeah, I haven't exactly loved everything. The Sharks has pretty good money there at $3.45. Because remember, it's not at Shark Park.
No, it's in, the Shark. It's in the glorious town of Coffs Harbour. In at Leichhardt on a Saturday afternoon, the Tigers up against the Cowboys. Upset.
Well, I mean, I'm flagged last game as one where I could see an upset. And in this game, I just reckon you can see on the pricing they're giving for it. The West Tigers that playing there, I think that brings them back a lot closer together. I'm going to tip the Cowboys because I think that they're getting better week after week. They're starting to warm up, aren't they?
They are. I think we'll have the same tips for everything else. I'll take the Tigers. The Finns up against the Storm at Suncorp.
Well, it's basically a home game for the Storm, isn't it? They love playing up there. I'm going to tip the Storm.
As will I. And a really good game here. Really good game. Bulldogs and the Titans. I don't know why this is close. I thought the prices would be a bit different here, but the Titans are the $1.77 favourites. I'm going to take them.
Yeah, I want to take them too because I mean they got a loss last week and I called it against the Knights at home, but I think that they've improved this year. The Titans, where I think after a loss the week before, I think that they're coming out a lot stronger the next week. The Bulldogs need a win though, don't they? So
does Cameron Serrato ever face criticism, or does he get a pass with the injuries?
Look, they've had a horrific injury toll. I think he's blooded some really good. Preston's been a revelation.
Yeah, that really good young up and comer, Josh Reynolds. Yeah, he's
and Josh Reynolds. Well, they've got Oluwapu there in there this week, which is good. Yeah, look, it's his first year as a as an NRL coach.
Not everyone can be Craig Fitzgibbon, I guess, in their first year.
Yeah, they're in a transition year. Well, yeah, but they just burn out in straight sets. So how is that worse? You know, like. How's that better?
Yeah,
true. Made finals, I guess. So all the Dogs fans be happy if they made the finals. So yeah, give him another year. I mean, what's Brad Arthur's excuse, matey? They made the grand final last year.
Are you scared about a 4 o'clock Sunday kickoff against Manly?
No. I mean, look, it's definitely
in Canberra. It's gonna be minus fucking 10.
It's better when it's fucking nighttime in there. They don't want to be out there. Look, Manly, they generally get up for this game, and I hate when Manly beat the Raiders at home. We've won 5 in a row, so we're going to have a full crowd there doing the Viking clap. And you know, when you've won, when you've got on a bit of a streak, I just think that streak will carry the Raiders home in this game at home against the Manly Seagulls. And
I'll write a narrative here. Turbo, you know, down on his luck, saw KP win back his jersey with 180-minute performance. Turbo, he's gonna cement himself in Origin folklore with a somewhat decent game.
He says, "Fuck my new running style. I'm just gonna run. Yeah. Fuck the Hammies. If they go, they go. We're halfway through the year. Let's just fucking put the afterburners on, Turbo. How does he play a full game and not get a tackle break, Turbo?" Everyone's like, "Oh well." I mean, I know they're all going, "Oh, if it was another player, you know, we'd all be saying, hey, he's having a great year." I'm like, "Would I?" I criticise everyone who's who looks like they're going like a bastard. A fullback that can get run down by front rowers. Did you see how hard Nick Hora burnt him?
Yeah.
He's he got 30 metres away from him.
Skinned him very quickly.
Turbo is trying very, very hard, but I reckon he should have just sat out the first 7-8 rounds.
Season. Just sat out the season.
Oh, half the season, yeah, and just played the back end. Garrick is a serviceable fullback. They've learned how to play without Turbo, but I'll take it. Raiders win and Turbo goes over for 3 tries.
I'll take the just so I get some kind of enjoyment if the Raiders do lose. I'll take the Seagulls. But that has been the round 12 dual position podcast review. A lot of waffle in this episode, which is good. It's good just to have a big old chin wag.
The better old shit.
And to be fair though, this week is pretty important for moving week. I mean, next week you do get three trades next week if you ever so need them. But yeah, it'd be very, very interesting. Big moving week this week and bye week next week. We probably don't have a lot to talk about next week, in all honesty. So next week might be a shorter episode because there's probably not a whole lot to talk about with only half the teams playing.
Yeah, we should probably go through our lineups and who we're running out, with our differences, I guess, that we've got in there.
Next week will be fun because you'll get a free loop as well. So anything over 80, you probably take. So you probably pick a more conservative VC next week. But yeah, that's been the Dual Position Podcast around 12. What a way to end it. I've been the SC Whisperer coach of the Ramsey Rehabs, joined as always by SC Adrianosaurus, coach of the Ramsey Rehabs. Thank you for joining.
I'm not coaching the Ramsey.
No,
Rehab.
I mean, mate, we do need a coaching change.
Rapana Banana, you said. I'm going to change it to that next year. I'm Rapana Rama.
We need a coaching change at Ramsey Rehab. So if you want to come on board, then by all means. But once again, thank you so much for watching the Dual Position Podcast, listening, and putting up with our dribble. We'll be back same time next week, hopefully with some green arrows to report back to you.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.